Well, thank you, Mr. Jackson, and good evening, brethren. Those webcast, nice, beautiful, sunshiny day, and got snowblind on the way here. Should have worn my glasses, but I didn't have them. The title of the sermonette today is Nehemiah, A Lesson in Leadership. Now, what we've always known as Nehemiah, or as in the Hebrew dialect, Nehemiah, is a study of leadership. It was a time when a Jewish captive of the Persian conquest of Jerusalem heard of the plight of his former capital. He, as it did go for slaves, had a pretty fairly cushy job as the cupbearer for the Persian king Artaxerxes. It came to pass, as Nehemiah was about his duties, that one of his brethren came in from Judah with a party of men. Nehemiah asked the man, Hanani, what news did he have of the condition of the captives left in Jerusalem and the state of the city itself? Upon learning of the deplorable state of the people and the fact that the walls of the city were torn down and the gates were burned with fire, Nehemiah was in a very depressed state of mind, to say the least. So much so that the king himself noticed. And he asked Nehemiah the reason for his downcast spirit. After taking a deep breath, and I would guess a quick prayer to God for favor, he simply told the truth. Without a doubt, God's favor was gained, and the king was concerned, and asked Nehemiah what the king might grant that would help the case. I could imagine with another deep breath, Nehemiah told the king that he had intentions of going on a trip to Jerusalem to rebuild the gates and the walls that had been torn down. Surprisingly enough, given his permission to travel on his quest, not only permission, but food and money and help that he would need in accomplishing this. Nehemiah exhibits the leadership it takes to complete this task at hand. Today I would like to show the three qualities Nehemiah exhibits to us that made him a great CEO and leader of his time. Now these qualities are also available to all of us. The first quality is preparation. Nehemiah had a goal, which was to rebuild the gates of Jerusalem. We also, brethren, have a goal, which we can find in 1 Peter. We'll turn there. First chapter of Peter, verse 23. Thank you for the big print Bible, but I still have to use these. Okay. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, Our goal. Nehemiah's second quality was the execution of that goal. He wanted to rebuild the walls and the gates that had been burned. In Nehemiah 6, we can thumb through and read part of how he had to overcome and what he had to go through to accomplish this goal, to execute the goal, his second quality. In verse 1, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors and the gates. that they sent to me, saying, Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? It shows in this that he had the quality to stand up against his enemies in executing his goal that he was doing. For us, in Philippians, the third chapter, starting in verse 13, Brethren, Paul speaking, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, our goal that we reach out for. We have our method of execution. In both cases, it takes stick-to-itiveness or cutting through the opposition, as Nehemiah did, to rebuilding. The third quality Nehemiah demonstrated was following up on his goal. After the goal was accomplished, Nehemiah went on to establish the priest in the temple and reading of the law that would be needed to carry on the worship and the reconnection to God. You know, as we know and we've read in other places, it was God's intent to rebuild a people of his own once again in Jerusalem. In the previous book of Ezra, God had started the ball rolling by inspiring Artaxerxes to give Ezra money to start the rebuilding of the temple at Jerusalem. Ezra fixed up the temple in Jerusalem, but did not rebuild the gate or the walls that were protecting the city. That part was to fall to Nehemiah to complete. Now, there were many reasons that Nehemiah was successful. The primary reason was the fact that although Nehemiah was never born or raised in Jerusalem, reading it at first, not knowing this, I thought maybe he was. But he went and was born in captivity. Had never seen Jerusalem and only heard of it. But he had a deep abiding love for his country. He cared what had happened to it. And he was determined to go back and see and to do something to help restore his people. Obviously, God stirred up Nehemiah's spirit to do this, gave him extreme favor in the king's eyes to do so. We, like Nehemiah, need to follow up on our conversion with the growth we need in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Master. In 2 Peter, second book of Peter, in chapter 3, in verse 18, it says, But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. It is so important that we understand that we cannot quit along our journey. We have a goal. We've been set a goal. We've been given a goal. And we can stick to striving toward that goal. But if we do not follow up on the effort, we can fall by the wayside and miss out to the cares of this world and lose out on our reward. Nehemiah stuck to his plan, even when coerced and tempted by his detractors to leave off the building of the gates of Jerusalem. He also, in Nehemiah 7, followed up by appointing men he trusted to guard those gates and to set up worship again in the temple. It took great courage and perseverance for him to do these things. We also will have to do likewise in building our own house. In Ephesians, right after Galatians, not before, Ephesians 6, verse 1. No, verse 11, I'm sorry. Ephesians 6, verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And in 2 Peter again, 1 and verse 10. These pages are not the best in the world to turn. Okay. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. I'll get there in a minute. Maybe. Second Peter 1, verse 10 for the fifth time. All right. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. We must continually not be being a forgetful hearer, but follow up on our walk of faith. We need in these last days, brethren, to assume the leadership over our houses. The house God is building in us, the temple of his grace, his spirit to reside in. Let us love our God above all. Let us set our goals and go after them, executing what we know to do. And lastly, let us follow up always to make sure we have laid the right foundation. God will yet choose Jerusalem, and those who have set their goals will be there. And those who have stuck to their goals and continue to follow up on their growth in grace and the knowledge of the King of the City of Peace, Jerusalem, King of Peace. We will be there to complete God's great plan for salvation.